it live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
We've actually got an extra special guest this evening. We've got Sam Wolford from Legacy.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
Hey, guys. I'm good. And you?
Not bad. Not bad. That's two not bads, which is pretty good, really.
Good for a Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you guys have just kicked off a new initiative, Rescue Fish. Is that right?
Yeah. So, just quickly, Legacy, we're a non-profit organisation, and we're focusing on restoring our inshore fisheries. So, we're really concerned about, you know, the over-harvest and the way in which people are fishing, the fishing techniques being used, using a lot of damage at the moment.
What are the boundaries for, like, the area that you're talking about? Inshore. What's inshore?
So inshore, loosely speaking, inshore is about up to the 12 nautical mile zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
the next kind of boundary out is the EEZ, which is 200 nautical miles.
And you're talking, like, all around New Zealand, not just like the Hauraki Gulf, but kind of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what we're focused on at the moment is the commercial fishing industry at the moment is bound by something called the quota management system.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're concerned about is the fact that this quota management system is actually failing. It's not serving the commercial fishermen, and it's not serving, you know, public in general.
Totally.
And
yeah.
Ultimately what that means is that we're killing too many fish.
Mm-hmm.
So the fishing techniques are really destructive, but just in general, quota allocation allows for these companies just to take too much. And we're not seeing these fish stocks rebound in a manner that is necessary for them to be, you know, to grow or to flourish.
It's not a case of too many people going out fishing. It's a case of, like, grunty fishing operations supplying offshore as well as onshore. Is that kind of the situation?
Yeah, so we've got really good data on recreational harvest.
Okay.
Anyone does the survey, we can safely estimate it's about 12,000 kilos.
Right.
Now, that sounds like quite a lot, but in comparison, the commercial industry exports 400,000 kilos every single year. Sorry, 400,000 tons every single year.
Whoa.
So that's the comparative number.
Yeah.
Now, that is inshore and offshore, so deep water species as well.
Right.
But, you know, let's talk inshore, and it's still 30-70 sort of split.
How close are these inshore, you know, are they fishing commercially? Like, how close do the big boats get to the Hauraki Gulf?
And this is the point, is that because the quota management system doesn't actually set any constraints, they can go anywhere they want.
Mm. Wow.
There is no kind of geographical boundary as to where they can fish. Now, there are some good operators, and there are some operators who say that, look, we won't trawl inside the inner Hauraki Gulf, which is lovely, but it's not actually a mandated sort of situation. They can go and do it if they do feel the need.
Do you think that's going to change? We got that report back, that 20-year report recently, right, that described the sort of damage that's been done to that area.
The state of the Gulf.
Yeah. Has that had any impact into, you know, people fucking doing anything about it? Or
well, the short answer is that report comes out every couple of years,
right,
and the frustration is that it hasn't really changed that much.
That,
you know, all we're seeing is that it's getting more and more dire.
Mm.
What we're seeing is quite shocking stuff. For example, the catch of blue mackerel has gone up 470% this year.
Whoa.
Now, the reason that that's really relevant is blue mackerel is quite an important bait fish. Now, you're probably asking yourself why, and the answer is that everything eats blue mackerel. Like, it is a food source for snapper, trevally, kahawai, kingfish, seabirds, whales, absolutely everything.
Mm.
And we already know that we've got this area of our oceans that's under immense threat and pressure, and so we're just kneecapping it by taking its food source out as well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's the management that we allow at the moment.
So it's kind of a self-regulation.
Where's the blue mackerel going? Is it going to an international market who eat it?
Or are they making bait as well?
Short answer is that it's definitely being exported.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bulk harvested, it's frozen and shipped offshore.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that, I couldn't answer. You know, just kind of trying to reverse engineer that, go through the different organisations and stuff. It's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you hoping to do? Are you hoping to change some of the commercial elements, what people can and can't do in the inshore fishing industry?
Yeah, so the idea is that we've got to start prioritising the health of the environment.
Mm.
It's not about who owns the quota or the fishing techniques. It's actually about asking the question, is this good for the environment? Because ultimately, if we see these fisheries collapse, and we've got a number, you know, that are in really dire situations, crayfish considered functionally extinct at the moment, if we don't actually start prioritising these animals and the ecosystem which they live in, then we're going to lose, you know, and it doesn't matter who you are, commercial, you know, public, recreational fishers, it doesn't matter, we will all lose.
It's almost like we need to monetize.
Quite a major shift change.
We need to somehow monetize that prioritization, you know, like how to, because that's obviously how everyone sort of operates. When it's, I see the irony in the fact that we're a clean, green country and we sell ourselves on our wildlife, you know what I mean? But it's just that ocean, yep. Nobody can see anything, you know, so it doesn't.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks.
And that's a big part of the problem, is that we've allowed these behaviours, these fishing techniques, to continue for such a long time because we can't see the damage or the impact.
It's astounding that we can just trawl, you know?
Yeah, trawling.
Sorry?
It's astounding that they're still trawling, like, in the inshore area.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've done is we've just launched this campaign, Rescue Fish, and the idea is that we want to promote an alternative to the quota management system.
Rescue Fish. Okay.
Rescue Fish. So if you are interested and if you're concerned about this sort of stuff, we do ask people, go to the website, rescuefish.co.nz. But in parallel to that, we've also released a documentary called The Price of Fish. And that actually goes through and highlights some of the issues. It explains where we're going wrong and what we could do better as well.
Right.
So if you are interested in learning more,
what's selling and how much it's selling for and stuff.
Sorry?
What's selling and how much it's selling for and all that kind of thing, and like, will the need and supply and demand,
yep,
kind of vibe? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So it breaks it down, and it also shows internationally how other countries are managing their fisheries as well. Because the idea is that we've got to find an alternative. We can do better. And if we don't make that change to start doing better, we're going to be the losers.
I guess, are we exporting now that there's all this COVID and stuff? It's probably a good time to figure out a new way to make some money, guys. Hey.
Well, that was the point. If we took a big, deep breath right now, took the opportunity to reflect, we could re-emerge from this crisis, this global pandemic,
with a fucking
in a really
plan.
Strong, structured manner.
Kind of is a perfect little avenue, eh? It's not like you could just up and do it. Everyone get pretty upset around the world. But if you can somehow use the COVID in our own little good news conspiracy. Someone's actually just texted in saying, ask him if there's a conspiracy between the industry and the government. I just thought I'd read that out. I like that. Just a little who knows, man.
Yeah,
I
mean, everyone
there's
does
there's
talk
money.
About,
there's
everyone,
money. Money's the conspiracy. It's not fucking conspiracy,
talks
right?
About the big industry and the, you know, big fishing just being all over the government. Is that the case in your mind?
Well, look, there's been some recent exposés. Michael Moore did a good piece about political donations, particularly to New Zealand First, and where and how they were coming from the seafood industry. But there's also a number of pieces, internal documents like the Heron Report, that sort of thing, that have been released that show what's called regulatory capture. So the industry, you know, has a lot of sway over decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money talk.
Money talks. Follow the money.
Yeah.
So what can people do if they want to get involved with what you guys are trying to achieve?
Two steps. Go to rescuefish.co.nz, sign the petition, read about what the alternative is, and if you're kind of motivated by that and it feels like the right direction for you, sign the petition. If you want to learn more, go to Rescue Fish, watch the documentary. It's up on YouTube now. And you can just click straight through the link. It's 45 minutes of your life, but it's well worth it. You'll come away with a much better understanding of quite a mercurial and complex issue.
Is fish farming a good answer, seeing as we can actually see what's happening? You know, like, I mean, I feel like you only have to look at the way we treat cattle, and we can see that, and then, you know, people can kind of go a little bit harder in the ocean because you can't see what's going on so much. So is that a bit more sustainable way to go about things, or is that kind of a strain on the land as well?
Well, if we managed our wild fish stocks effectively, we wouldn't actually see the need for aquaculture.
Right, okay. Aquaculture.
But secondly, a lot of the protein sources that comes for feeding those salmon and those farmed fish is actually taken out of wild food stock, fish stocks anyway.
Right.
So we're still, in many respects, robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're taking the blue mackerel out and then feeding them to the salmon because that's what we want to eat. That's what's marketable. But it's, again, we've got to start weighing up the environmental cost. And that's the sort of question we need people to start asking. Well, okay, that's great, but what's the actual environmental cost of how we're operating right now?
Yeah, it's an interesting path for the way our diet's going to go. I'm interested to see how everything pans out.
Yeah, and that's the other reality is that fish is a really good source of protein. And we don't discourage people from eating it.
It's like the last one for the vegans as well. You know, it's like, oh, no, yeah. I'm pescatarian. Like, I still fuck with fish.
I just call myself a scavenger now.
I just eat whatever's around.
I won't buy the meat. I won't buy the fish. Yeah. But if I go out and harvest it myself, somebody's gone hunting.
Yep.
I can comfortably consume it.
You're calling that okay? Yeah. No, I vibe on that. That's a good. Yeah.
Are there any types of fish that are available, you know, sort of in the general retail market that are sustainably?
Seems to be heaps
sourced?
Of salmon around.
Anything good that we can eat?
There's always heaps of salmon.
Fancy a bit of fish. What do you recommend?
The answer.
Trout.
The best question to ask is, how's it harvested?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've got to step away from this bulk harvesting, the bottom trawling fishing, these fishing techniques. Every fish species is different, so it's quite hard to give you the direct answer to that. Mm-hmm. But what I'd say is, if you ask and they say it's lime caught, then you can be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Because what that means is that they're not doing a huge amount of damage on the way through as they're actually harvesting the fish. It's lime caught, so it's relatively selective. And that's the best, easiest way to adjust your kind of consumption habits.
Actually, while I've got you here, have you seen the fish harvester on TV?
No, I haven't.
It breaks through the waves and catches snapper real easy. I'm just wondering if that's a good method or...
Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to do some research on that one.
Okay, thanks, mate. Sorry. Email us and get us back. Get back to us on that one. That'd be good.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do, definitely.
Cool.
All right, for people, just to one more time, to direct people, where should they go online to check out where they can help out, make a donation, find out more info?
Rescuefish.co.nz. And like I said, I do encourage people to watch the documentary, The Price of Fish. It's important just to understand the conversation, and it starts with just taking 45 minutes to watch the documentary.
Sam, fantastic, mate. Keep up the good work, eh?
Thanks, gents. Appreciate the time.
Take it easy. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.